This program is made possible by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma. Thank you for listening.
Restore my spirit, Lord, I need restored. My heart is weary, please help me, dear Lord. I stand in need of more strength from your word. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul. Revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul. Stir my desire to work in your call.
We thank you for being here with us today. With me, as always, is Brother Matt Olson, or Matthew Olson, from the Chip and Rail Congregation there in Lee's Summit, Missouri. And, of course, myself, Russ Earl, from the Ooligah Church of Christ here in Ooligah, Oklahoma. Last week, we began looking at the song, as we sometimes call a Devo song or a camp song, entitled Restore My Soul or Restore My Spirit. The title sometimes is different, but usually it's the same song. Last time we looked at the first verse, and today we'll be looking at the second verse. You notice the words here, revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul. Stir my desire to work in your fold. Light in my heart, dear God, your zeal grown cold. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, or restore my soul. And that last part, as we talked about last time, we will say for the third episode with that stanza, renew my love, rebuild my faith, or restore my soul. Looking at this first part of this verse, revive the fire, you'll find the phrase, revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul. And when I think about these words, there's probably easily my favorite verse in probably all of the Bible. My wife has heard me quote it so many times. She'll tell me sometimes, okay, you got to preach today and not mention this verse. But Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. I even have this here in a frame on my wall that she actually got me. And so I would say part of the problem is her. So but anyway, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9 says, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back and I could not. Now in Jeremiah 20, to put this verse into context as we talk about it, Jeremiah had been heavily persecuted because of his message that God had given him to deliver to the people. We find actually beginning in chapter 20, he was actually in the stocks. They had brought him out of the stocks. He was sitting before the king, and he tells the king there that you and all your friends are going to die because you've gone against the Lord. So I'm sure he made a lot of friends that way. But that was part of the message because they were in sin. And so we find here, as we get to verse 9, he talks about previously and after verse 9, that all his acquaintances and friends have walked away from him, and that it seems like in verse 9 that this is just a thought that lasted for just a moment. Because in verse 9 he says, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, no doubt because of the persecution he's been facing. But he says, but his word was in my heart. So this is what made the difference. Even though he's been pressured, even though he doesn't feel like he should say anything else because of heavy persecution, God's word, he says, was in his heart like a burning fire, he says, as if it was shut up in my bones, he says there in verse 9. He says, I was weary of holding it back, which means the idea of holding back God's word actually was exhausting to him. And then he says, and I could not. And so the word of God burned within him so strongly, he couldn't hold back God's word. And that's the idea we find here of this song, revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul. That's the kind of revival we want. We want to have that attitude that we love God's word so much, we just can't stay away from it. We study it constantly. We read God's word. We attend all these Bible classes and things like that because we have this fire that burns within us, as Jeremiah calls it there, this burning fire that's shut up in his bones. And that's what the writer of this song here seems to be conveying with this idea of revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul. Now I'm going to stop there. And Brother Matt, add anything he'd like as we continue looking at this phrase, revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul. Brother Matt?
I think of fire, I think of like a zeal. I know a zeal is down in the latter part of this verse, but I think of like great energy or enthusiasm that we need to revive. And some examples are Paul and Peter, you know. Paul was persecuting the church, and then on his way to Damascus, you know, Jesus came and talked to him and discussed him. You know, we all know what happened there, but it lit a fire in him. And even when Peter, think of Peter, when Jesus Christ said, Peter, you will deny me three times, right? Thrice. And the third time, Christ looked directly at him. Imagine that, Christ looking at you going, not I told you so, but hey, I know your heart. If that didn't light a fire in Peter, and I know it took him a while, but I also want to read from Acts 4 and 20. It says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And sometimes we get afraid to speak out to other people. We get afraid to kind of revive that fire of God's word that we read about, and we get really enthusiastic, and then when it comes to somebody else, it's like the fire kind of dims, right? Because we're afraid of what they're going to say, what they're going to do. But another example is Peter and John's zeal for the Lord, right? When they, you know, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, the name of Jesus is forbidden. They're like, no, I don't think so. Nope. God says that we're going to speak God's word. And it's not anything that goes against God's word. Hey, we're going to speak out against, you know, but reviving that fire, you know. And how do we revive that fire? Like you said, we go to Bible studies, we go to church, we go to midweek Bible studies, we get together with other Christians, and I just think we get that great energy and enthusiasm. It's just lighting a fire, man. And a fire burns, right? So.
And like you mentioned there in Acts 4 with as you may mention there, the word of the Lord, you know, being forbidden. You'll notice that in verse 31 that when they were released, Peter and his companion there with him, they went to, as it says in verse 23, they went to their own companions and reported to all the chief priests and elders had said to them. And then you find in verse 31, the Bible says, and when they had prayed, because they prayed following this, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they all filled the Holy Spirit. We understand that was tied only to that time period, right? But notice this last phrase in verse 31, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And boldness is oftentimes right there with that fire within our soul. And when we talk about this fire within our soul, we have to, of course, understand we're not talking about some miraculous, the Lord speaking through us, but somebody having this deep desire to know who God is, you know, what he wants from us, and to encourage others to do exactly the same. And like, you know, like Matt mentioned there with those there in Acts, you know, they were being told basically to be quiet. They weren't going to do that. You know, today we have those who, and you know, in certain states it's different right now. You know, in California, in other words, the time may still be this way. They're trying to get churches to basically to shut down completely. And of course, you know, for us today, we have to realize that that's where we obey God and not men. And if we're going to do that, we have to have this strong desire to do so. Like this verse says, revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul. It has to be something that goes deep. You know, it's kind of like a tree that has no roots. If you can grab it and pull it out, that means it wasn't a very strong tree. And so if the world can grab us and pull us away, then our roots haven't been very strong. So we want that fire not just to burn on the surface, but deep down within us as well. Did you want to add something, Matt, before we moved on?
Yeah. I'm not going to butter you preachers up or anything, but you take like a preacher, you know, you got the fire to want to do it. You're not doing it for the monetary gain. You know that, you know, you're doing it to tell others about Christ and about what he can do for you and what God can do for you. It's not for the monetary things. Let's say that it's for the spiritual things. Right. And I'm not buttering you preachers or anything, but you know, it's amazing what you guys do. I mean, there was a fire in you and you said, hey, I want to be a preacher. Hey man, more power to you. My son's going to be a preacher, and it's great. I mean, I think it's just it's amazing that fire that was lit in you guys.
So. You know, you also think about not just preachers, but you know, the elders and deacons and congregations where they don't have elders or deacons, the same type of thing. You know, any leader that steps up in the church, you know, we you don't do it for monetary reasons. You don't do it for, hopefully not for selfish reasons. So think about Matthew 6, there where Christ talks about those who do charitable deeds, not to do them seen by men. You know, anyone who steps up and wants to encourage others to have that fire within them and to keep that burning, you do so from a selfless standpoint. Now, this next phrase in this song says here, and just to back up and read this verse from the beginning, it says, "Revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul, desire to work in your fold." And if I'm honest, I think that word "work" for a lot of people scares people. That's where a lot of people think kind of tap out and say, "Nope, I stop." You know, I stop right there. You know, there for some, and I say some because there are a lot of too many examples of brethren, Matt, including Matt in this, who are willing to work and labor in the kingdom. Because there are those, you know, for every person you have who's willing to work, you have probably five who aren't. I was told one time, I don't know where this number came from, that in any congregation you have about 10% of people willing to do work and the rest are not. I think in a typical congregation that could be so, but I think there are some that 10% is not 10%. It's probably much larger than that because there are some who realize that, you know, their responsibilities and that have that desire. And that's what we're talking about here in this second phrase of this verse. It says, "Stir my desire." It's like the idea of something that has stopped moving and you're trying to get going again. You know, I like to watch television shows where they're restoring old vehicles and things. One of the first things they'll do is they'll pop the hood and they'll look at that motor and see if it's seized up or if it's not, if they can get it to move. And they'll grab a hold of you know, one of the pulleys or wheels or whatever on it and start to and try to get it to move. And if they can get it to move, then they know, you know, they can go from there. Well, that's the idea with our desire. You know, if our desire is willing to move and to get going again, then we can restore it. We can build it back up. But we don't want to be those that allow our heart to get seized up, so to speak, where we're not going to let anyone get that going again or in the first place. I think about 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, where the Bible says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father." And so he uses two terms here in verse 3 concerning the type of work. He calls it a work of faith, and he says a labor of love. Faith and work are both describing works. It's a type of work. You know, sometimes you refer to work as labor or labor as work. And he calls them work of faith, labor of love, not work for money, not labor of self, you know, being, you know, self-recognition. You know, you don't do these things for the money. You don't do it for others to praise your name. We do it because we want to do so. I think that's the thing we're talking about here when he uses that phrase, stir my desire. The desire means we want to do it. We don't feel like we have to do it. We want to do it. And I'm going to stop there and let Matt anything he'd like as we talk about this.
Yeah, you have the gumption to do it. Like James, going along with that verse, James 2:17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. I mean, it's kind of like you're talking about the people in the church, like maybe one out of five will do it. But what I've noticed too is you get that one person that might be the, you know, just take, for my instance, my industry, like an electrician or whatever I do, you know, if I go, "Hey, yeah, I'll go wire that," you might have like four or five people that are like, "Hey, man, I can help." You know, they want to help. They just don't want to be the so-called leader of it or the person who's heading the operation, I should say, you know. And it's, I just wish we could have more people to have that desire of, "Hey, I'm ready for this. I'm ready to help any way I can in the church." And but some people just want to, and it's sad to say, is kind of punch the time clock, you know, and just be like, "Hey, I went here. But also to stir my desire to work in the fold. What is the fold? It's the kingdom, right? And in Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the kingdom daily. You know, how are we added to the kingdom? You know, by just like what the apostles, that's when the church first started in Acts 2, you know, it's five steps of salvation, right? And I think that desire, I wish more people had it, but you can't force it. It's got to be their own desire. Just like you take, for instance, like the elders and the deacons, and what's the main thing? They have to desire that position, I could say. I shouldn't say position, but like a, not really a duty either, but it's just a dedication, I should say. You know, I mean, they have to desire it. You can't have somebody who doesn't want it, and you're like forced into it. We're going to force this guy into it, and you're not going to get anything out of it. You know, there's going to be no fire in it. There's going to be no zeal, right?
Well, it's like there in Matthew chapter 6, like we may mention before, when he says, you know, in verse 3, he says, Matthew 6, verse 3, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. I'll get it right in a second. But you notice, if you back up here in verse 2, he says, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. And the point we find there, and the point I'm making here, is that their good deeds were done from the wrong perspective, with the wrong attitude, and so basically it ruined everything. You know, we look at verse 3 of Matthew 6. He said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. The idea there is, you do things, and you don't, you might say, you do it quietly. You don't make a big deal about it. You know, I may mention of in our Bible study earlier, on Facebook there on the Bible Media page, when we were covering this chapter here in Matthew 6, how, you know, a person had done something for someone else, some kind of benevolent act, and I knew nothing about it. And then we get a card here at the church building, someone expressing thanks. But I knew nothing about it until we saw that. And I have no idea who did it. And, of course, it doesn't matter. But that's what you want. You want people who are willing to do things. And we want ourselves to be those who are willing to do things without seeking glory from others, without getting praise from others, or not seeking praise from others. You know, it's fine to get praise from others. But if we seek after it, then that's where it just ruins it, you know. And you look at this verse here. It says, stir my desire to work in your fold. We should want to. To put it mildly, we should have that desire. We want to work in the church. We have a lot of people today who, unfortunately, will complain about some things, but then they're not one who wants to be a part of the work. It's easy to sit back and point and say, well, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing this? When you're sitting on the sideline, you know, anybody can do that, but a true servant will get off the sideline and do what they can to help the church in whatever way they possibly can. So in this final verse here, we notice the phrase, in light of my heart, dear God, your zeal grown cold. And when I look at this final section here, I think about that idea of the light in our heart. It reminds me of what we find back in verse 1, where it says, revive the fire, Lord, deepen my soul. This light, it seems to be referencing a fire or a light in our heart. And so he wants us to have that light restored in our heart. That's been, you know, might have been snuffed out like a candle, but he wants that to be lit up again. But he applies it here, the songwriter here applies this more in this last phrase here, when he says, your zeal grown cold. So he wants our heart to be lit again, like he wants our zeal to be lit up again like this candle. And he doesn't want it to be cold. He wants it to be on fire for God. And he says here, your zeal grown cold. He's not talking about the Lord's zeal. He's talking about our zeal. You notice here in Psalm 119 and verse 139, the Bible says, my zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Now, the zeal that has consumed him is his zeal for God and his word. And it seems like his enemies, because they have forgotten his word, it's just forgotten God's words. It's just, you know, like throwing gas in a fire. He's just zealous and wanting to repeat God's words to the people and wanting the people to return to God's word. Because he says here in 139, he says, my zeal has consumed me. That is, his zeal for God has consumed him. It's like he is upset and he's stressed because, as he says in verse 139, because my enemies have forgotten your words. And so he wants his enemies to know the word of God and to be revived by God's word. Well, we think about this phrase in this final section of this verse, light of my heart, dear God, your zeal grown cold. This seems to be like a general zeal for God. We want to have this zeal for God. We want to be able to do whatever we can to be pleasing in the sight of God, not just, you know, serving him in the church, but also studying his word, also trying to reach out to the lost, all those things. And so we want our zeal restored if it's grown cold. Now I'm going to stop there, Brother Matt, add anything you'd like as we continue talking about this.
Yeah, it's like we talked about earlier, you know, the definition of zeal was great energy and enthusiasm. You know, we got to have that take over, right? You know, reading God's word, getting his word in our hearts, right? Don't let it grow cold. You know, I mean, it's like it talked about in that psalm. What you talked about is, my zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Well, we have to have that great enthusiasm for God's word ourselves. We can't put that on anybody else. But, you know, we go back to the examples of just zeal of Peter, Paul, John, the disciples. You know, I know when Jesus was getting crucified that they scattered. Then when they came back, they had this zeal. I know they had the Holy Spirit indwelled in them. But I mean, I'll give you some great enthusiasm. I know for sure. Reading God's word gives you enthusiasm. I mean, you can have the worst day and you read God's word and you're like, whoa, wow. It fills you, you know, and to get that zeal back. I mean, I just think of it as energy, enthusiasm. And, all right, let's do this. You know, kind of like when you're at a football game, getting that zeal to go take care of business, you know. So very good stuff.
You know, you think about, you know, as far as zeal goes, a lot of times our zeal, it seems like we'll go down or we'll lose some of our zeal because of the stress around us, really, you know. And so it's nice to be able to look in God's word and see others who have gone through difficult times and how they handled it and allow that to encourage us, allow that to build us up. And that's another way for us to be encouraged is by seeing how others handle those difficult things. You can think about the Apostle Paul, for example, and how, I mean, he, from the time of his conversion, I mean, they had to lay him down in a basket over the wall because not soon after his conversion, they wanted to kill him. You know, Christ coming into the world, well, he was so loved that he had to be sent off, you know, to Egypt, basically, until Herod died because Herod wanted him dead because he was a paranoid psycho, really, if you look at it. He was afraid that Christ was going to come in and be a threat to his kingdom. And so he sent, you know, Christ had to flee with Mary and Joseph. You think about Peter in the hardships he endured. He was told by Christ, you're going to deny me three times. And no doubt Peter had great zeal, but you imagine the heartache he felt when he realized that he did fulfill that prophecy. And how, you know, how that must have made him feel. And you go back and look at the Old Testament, look at other men who and women who endured hardship. You know, you think about people like Abraham and Moses and people like Esther and Ruth and all these other Bible characters we find who endured such hardships and difficult times. And Jeremiah, as we mentioned earlier, hit the times he endured and yet how they reacted and how they responded to those things. Now, I'm going to let Brother Matt add anything he'd like before we close here, and then we'll pick up next week with the third and final verse of this song, Restore My Spirit.
I'd just like to close with Titus 3:14, and let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs that they may not be unfruitful. Don't get unfruitful. Let your zeal, don't let it grow cold, you know. Always be willing and desireful of furthering the kingdom. You know, I mean, there's sometimes when we get down and out in our daily lives, but you know, get revived and just know that you are working to help others. So
definitely good stuff. We want to make sure we keep that zeal going. We're going to stop there today. We do thank you for being here with us on Uncensored Dads and the Uncensored Word. We hope you join us again next time as we continue looking at this song, Restore My Spirit. So we thank you for being here. We hope to see you again next time. Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Wave Media by visiting us at BibleWaveMedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We thank you for listening.